Welcome to But Her Lyrics, the show where we delve into the political lyrics of songs I like, songs I wrote, or topics that I think should be a song. I'm Shauna Potter, singer and lyricist for Warren Women, and your host. In a minute, I'll be talking with Valerie and Emily from the Anti-Queens, or for the Canadians listening, the Anti-Queens. And we talk a lot about stuff that apparently they've never had the chance to discuss in interviews before. A lot of firsts. So keep listening to join in on this really fun conversation, despite the heavy subject matter of the song we're dissecting, Crusade, off their brand new album, Disenchanted.
Patreon!
Before we get into it too deep, I want to shout out our official sponsors, First Defense Krav Maga and Pupcakes and Pastries. You can find a coupon, a discount for Pupcakes and Pastries in the show links. So check that out in the show notes. Big thanks to my recruits, Melissa and Ronnie, and to my meatheads, Stefan, Zachary, Bob, Byron, Russell, Isaias, and my hunters, Mike, Andrus, Lydia, Tim, Bessie, Zachary, Kevin, and Lauren. This podcast would not exist without you. You know that. And your support helps me do all my other work, including the band. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, if you want a shout out to, you'll have to join my Patreon, where you'll also get access to behind the scenes stuff, bonus content. And I have a new shirt design. If you join at the meathead level or above for 3 months, you get a free exclusive shirt. Whoever gets theirs first, please take a picture and tag me. I want to see it in the wild. And then, of course, we have some Warren Women stuff coming up in the year. I always do fun stuff around that, tour diaries, behind-the-scenes stuff. So, again, sign up now. Check it out. And a cool new thing that Patreon has that I really like is this chat feature that's on both the desktop now and the app version of Patreon. So it kind of feels like we're all on a big text thread together, but not the annoying ones that are like, what time is load in again? Because that's, I hate those. But this one, there's a lot of dog pictures being shared, a lot of questions about new Warren Women music that I'm sort of evading, but it's fun. It's really fun. So whether you're a new patron or an existing one, download the app so we can chat. Anyway, let's get right to it. Emily and Valerie, thank you so much for joining me on But Her Lyrics. Please introduce yourself to everyone.
Hello, my name is Valerie. I play guitar in the Anti-Queens.
My name is Emily, and I play guitar and sing in the Anti-Queens.
Valerie, do you sing too?
I sing a little bit. Not as much as Emily, though.
Okay. All right. We're digging into your song Crusade today, which is on your latest album, Disenchanted, which comes out May 17th, 2024, yes?
Yep.
So this episode may or may not come out right around the time that your new album is fully available. But I'm always interested in when a song was written in relation to the rest of an album, right? Like, at what phase in the writing process did this song come about? And how was your approach for this song similar or different than the other songs on this new album?
This song, I mean, all of the songs pretty much came out of quarantine because we started writing right as the world shut down. So it's all kind of like a blur in terms of like when they all really started. But I feel like Crusade specifically, I feel like we spent a solid amount of time on this one. We made a lot of changes, and just because of the lyrical content and it being kind of like our first real political song, I would say.
Is that true? This is your first?
Pretty much, yeah.
That feels pretty special that I get to talk about it then. That's awesome.
Yeah, but I also had so much like anxiety over the lyrics too. So I think this song, I spent the most time writing and rewriting the lyrics because I wanted to make sure it represented what I was trying to get across. So yeah, this one took a long time, but probably like 3 years.
This one started, it was the topic too was way broader. We really, it was revised so many times, but I remember, Em, when we started, when you brought this one to the table, we were like, well, wouldn't it be cool if we talked about like global warming and like feminism, and like we wanted to do all of it, and then
all the politics in one song. Yeah, that's hard to do.
And then, you know, because we were kind of dabbling with including indigenous issues in it as well, and then I don't know. I think M really jumped in and dove into that specific topic. And then M, you like really made, you took everything out. She rewrote it. She revised it and made it solely just, you know, just Canada's genocide.
You know, I mean, when I read the lyrics out of context, they could almost seem like democracy is good, actually, kind of song, you know, like they could apply to different things.
Absolutely.
Except for those couple lines that really stand out. The uncounted missing and murdered, the lost tongues buried by your cross, which of course, which instantly made me think of, I was like, they're either talking about the femicides in Mexico or the countless missing and murdered Indigenous women, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So tell me more about that line. Those lines, how it relates to the whole meaning. You kind of agreed that it's a little more general. Some of the other lines is like, so talk to me about that.
Tracy from Cross Dog, she actually wrote those lyrics because we knew we wanted to have her on the song somewhere. I think it was, we knew we wanted her on the bridge, and we just kind of handed her like the demo and we're like, just see what you can write. And she came back with those lyrics and we were like, yep, perfect. Like, no, we didn't revise anything. It was awesome. So that's all the magic of Tracy, honestly.
I'm a fan of Cross Dog. That's so cool.
She picked up on the message, though. She knew without us having to prompt her what the target idea was of the song. And she came back with those lines and both of us were just like blown away. Couldn't believe it.
Instant chills.
And we're like, yeah, that's exactly why we asked you, Tracy.
Because, yeah, you know, I... As someone that almost only writes political lyrics, but not only, but 90% of the time, it's like, yeah, there is a balance of how do you talk about a specific thing, but also knowing people are going to put their own shit onto it. They're going to project their own shit. They want to be able to relate to it. Did you think about that before writing this song, or as you were writing it, you were realizing, oh, okay, we need to get specific?
I feel like I've had a lot of anxiety over this song just because it's kind of stepping on new grounds for us. And there's just a lot to unpack, and there's a lot of really horrible history, and it's hard to even like begin to, I don't know, talk about it. So I don't know, basically for me, it was like what I was trying to say in the song was that I'm pissed off at the way that they're educating us in Canada, or at least the education that I had growing up, because there was zero mention at all about what actually happened. It was really just about glorifying colonizers and the settlers and, you know, how we're the reason that we live in Canada now. There was no real facts. They just try to like hide it all under the rug. And so, yeah, that was kind of that's where I wanted to come from with that is the education behind it.
Do you feel like after writing the song, you're going to approach songs in the future in a different way?
I would like to just keep writing about current issues, too. I mean, it's great to have a band and have like we don't have that big of a platform. But for what we do have, I think it's important to try to talk about things and try to educate people and like maybe make a difference. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we all do our best, right? Yeah. It's out of our hands once it's a song, right? tell me about the line, stand on guard for thee.
Lyric reference.
Ooh, okay. So I took that right from the Canadian National Anthem. One of the lines is, what's the line, Valerie?
we stand on guard for thee. It's like a statement. Be like, this is what we do. And Emily in the song is questioning that. Do we? You sure about that? Because, you know, there are still parts of Canada that don't have access to clean drinking water and proficient health care. And, you know, it's really fucking sad, and it's disappointing, and it's angering above all.
Isn't it weird, like being in a country that is held up as like mm-hmm. So fucking awesome. They really have their shit together. And in a way, I feel like the US maybe doesn't have that reputation anymore. But like, we're supposed to be the best, right? Yeah. And like Canada's supposed to be so awesome, such an mm-hmm. awesome place to live. And there's all this fucked up shit going on.
Yeah.
It's such a weird feeling to almost have to like, well, actually your whole government your country.
That's
all the time.
Exactly it. Yeah. And it's super frustrating because, you know, we're taught differently in school. And then when you get older and you start to do your own research on it, you realize that you've been lied to this entire time. And Canada doesn't have this like beautiful history like they claim that they do. And like it's ongoing. It's not a lot really has been fixed. And it's crazy because it's a very recent history too. I mean, the last residential school in Canada closed in 1996. So if I had been born into like an Indigenous family, I would have been in a fucking residential school at 6 years old. So the fact that it was just, it's so recent and we're still discovering more. They're discovering like children's bodies underneath these residential schools, like thousands of them. And that only came to light like 2 years ago and they still haven't uncovered half of it. So the fact that we disguise ourselves as this like welcoming, beautiful country, it's just, it's dog shit to me personally.
That's something you mentioned is that Canada's reputation on the world stage is we're polite. We care. We're the most peaceful country. It's safe to live here. And, you know, we see things like 216 graves, unmarked graves turn up in, I think it was Alberta or Saskatchewan just a couple of years ago. And it's like, the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Why did we do that? What are you talking about? And it was really shocking that they don't teach us this. But, you know, we did learn about, we learned about World War II and the Holocaust in explicit detail. We are, we have to learn about that. And it's important, of course, but it's like, they look at that. Look at that terrible thing that happened.
That we helped with.
Right.
In the end. Right. Yeah.
It's like, we were heroes in that. We helped end that. This is a glorified history of Canada. And this is why one of the reasons we're great. And this is in our public education system, but you know, they kind of glaze over the Indigenous history in Canada and the colonization of areas in Canada. And it's just, it's really disappointing and angering. And I just get angrier every time I learn something new about this.
Yeah. I can't remember how old I was when I learned about like the internment camps for Japanese people after Pearl Harbor. You know,
it's something they didn't include in our education is that part.
Somehow they didn't tell us about that part. Yeah. Like
convenient.
All right. So I could be angry all day. It's one of my favorite things. But let's lighten it up a little bit.
Okay.
I had the choice between a couple songs to cover in this episode, but I chose this song, Crusade, because the fucking opening to the song is so rocking. I could not get over it. And like the, oh my God, I love this. I love the opening of the song. Tell me about the music.
Oh man, even those, that intro, all those ahs, those were even revised 100 times.
Yeah.
It's true.
Do you often get that much time to work on stuff? No. Or was this really like pandemic related kind of thing?
This was, we were stuck at home and we had nothing else to do. And we just wanted to be productive and still be creative and still be a band. So we just, Emily and I are just like, all of the songs on this album have been revised 100 times each, most of them.
And do you notice, like, can you tell a difference? Like now that it's done, are you just like, it sounds like we spent more time on it? Or at least do you hope, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, going back to the original demos, yeah, you can definitely hear
we can tell. Yeah. We can absolutely tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's nice, right? It's a nice luxury that you don't often get.
Yeah, it really was.
What do you think is an influence on this album that maybe no one would think of?
On the whole album, mental health's a big one. Our experiences just going through the pandemic is a big one on this album. It's not super direct. There's one song that dates the album as a pandemic album. But, you know, we've always been pretty vocal and open about, you know, mental health, relationships, standing up for ourselves, feminism have all been constant themes in this band. And this album really isn't any different. We just, business as usual, just with a lot more time to really overthink everything.
Are you glad it's over? Like, you glad it's done?
Yeah. We're glad we're releasing it. That's for sure.
What about musically, though? Musical influences that maybe someone might not catch? Because it just, it sounds like a rock. You're a fucking rock band, you know, like in the best way. Like, I don't know. Do you, this is interesting. Do you consider yourselves a rock band or a punk band, or what do you call yourselves?
Punk rock and roll.
Punk rock and roll. I think the and roll is important with y'all.
Absolutely. Because you know what? It's very obvious that it's not just a punk rock sound. There's a lot of punk rock themes. And our histories are completely punk rock and 90s alternative and just rebellion. But the sound itself, there's musical influences across the spectrum of genres. There's pop, there's a metal, there's punk rock, there's rock and roll. There's all kinds of stuff in there.
Anything specific, or does your mind also go blank when someone asks you what you've been listening to?
Oh, always.
Every time.
Forever.
Okay, then fuck it. Fuck that question. Sorry.
Well, it's like you don't want to say like, oh, it's this band. And then be like, well, that's not entirely it. You know, I can list off every band that I love that has inspired me to want to continue to write and play music. I can't guarantee that all of them are influences on this specific album, though.
Do you guys have day jobs?
Yes.
Yes.
What do y'all do?
I work for Musora. It's a like online music lesson platform. So I'm a Musora mentor. So I basically just help our students like navigating the website. Sometimes I'll do lesson plans for them, stuff like that. So I work from home, which is great.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
I work for a music instrument company. It's very similar to a Guitar Center in the US. It's called Long & McQuaid. I manage accounts, so people that come in and finance instruments so they can take them home. I just monitor that. And then I also sell instruments, and it's awesome. It's the best retail job I've ever had.
That's rad. That's so cool to have something still kind of like connected to music, right? Mm-hmm.
It beats the Zoomies I was working at before.
So your band name, Anti-Queens, has a hyphen in it. How annoying is that from like a logistical standpoint for dealing with stuff and being found online?
I never really thought about it, actually.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
I always kind of get annoyed when people leave the hyphen out or like make it all one word or like, take out the poster.
I was going to say, are you very precious about the hyphen?
In terms of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Labeling or like a logo aesthetic, just consistency. I always get annoyed when they take out the on a flyer and it's Anti-Queens, even if whether or not the hyphen's there or they make it all one word. It's just the Anti-Queens. But I mean, in casual settings, I don't give a shit. Like Anti-Queens, hyphen, no hyphen, space, no space. I don't care.
Okay.
It doesn't bother me anyway.
Emily, so when writing this song, like, were there any, cite your sources? No, it's like, what were you reading? Did you find anything to help support the lyrics for this song?
Lyrically, not a whole lot. It was just more about, educating myself. Just there's so much on the internet, which is another thing that we didn't really have growing up either. Like right. I could have done my own research back then, but there was literally no internet. So textbooks it was. But now that we have the internet, there's just so much information that you can find out. And there's so many different like organizations and so nothing. I wasn't really reading anything in particular. It was more just writing out my rage towards Canada and the education system and the lack of education that we actually received, and that moving forward, it would be nice to not lie about Canada's history and the truth.
And also, I don't know, take care of our Indigenous communities a little better, you know, like. It would be great if we could take our Indigenous communities and incorporate into the image of Canada, you know.
Yes, right.
We are, you know, we're polite. We're friendly. We care about people. It's a safe place to live as long as you're, you know, white or not Indigenous, rather.
Right, right.
You know, it would be great if we could take the Indigenous community, take them seriously, listen to them and create space for them as well. That's would be ideal. I have this dream that they redo the Canadian flag and incorporate Indigenous culture into that because that's the land we live on. And it's time that we recognize that and acknowledge it. My two cents.
Are there any organizations or resources around that that you want to shout out? Anyone you found that you think deserves some attention? We can put in the show notes, links in the show notes.
We have been researching some organizations because Crusade will be a single that we will be releasing or have released already. And we have been looking at organizations that we can promote and donate to and create visibility for other people to donate to and explore that. So we're in the research process right now. I think Em might have a couple.
Yeah, actually, I have one of my best friends growing up. She actually started like a nonprofit organization called Finding Our Power Together. And basically, they just they educate Indigenous youth. They help them out with like mental health counseling. They go up and like visit the reserves, and they do all sorts of really amazing things with the youth. And yeah, I would check that out too. I'm very proud of her.
Is there anything that you get fucking tired of people asking you in interviews?
The band name, like the history of the band name. That one's really annoying. I always want to be like, it's because we hate everyone. We're anti everything. Like, I'm just so lazy with answering that question. I just want to answer it with nonsense.
Mine are always like, what were your influences growing up? I'm like, this again?
Growing up? That was that was 70 years ago. How am I supposed to remember?
It's been 84 years. And it's just like, what difference does it make? I listen to the same music you were in 2002, okay? We all know those bands.
I was listening to Justin Timberlake's Justified, but that's just me.
It's a good album. Shame about him, though.
I mean, we do want to tear people down. That's a whole other episode, I guess. Never mind. Let me not get into that. Okay. What do you wish people would ask you about? What do people never seem to talk about? And you're like, why doesn't anyone ask me this? This is so awesome.
My guitar.
Your actual gear, the shit you play, right?
That's one. People never ask us. It's that really rare. One. They never ask us, hey, what's your rig? What are you running?
Well, let's do it now.
What guitars? Well, I'm glad you asked. I play, it's a running joke in the band. I always, I ham it up on stage and like point at my guitar. I got this new guitar last year. I ordered a Gibson Custom Explorer and it took 8 months to show up.
Jesus,
it actually, it arrived the day after we left for a month long tour on the other side of the country.
No.
Yes, that happened.
Sad.
So, you know, I'm on stage and every now and then I'll be like, hey, did you guys see my guitar? It's been ongoing since I played the first show with it last year.
And we act surprised. You're like, yeah.
I'm like, wow, look at this. It's so cool. And Emily will also, she's like, everybody cheer for Valerie's guitar.
Deserves it.
So funny. It makes me laugh. And then I run that through a Mesa dual rectifier 100 watt head. And a Marshall 1936 212 cabinet.
Nice. You call them Mesas up there? Is that a Canadian thing?
Is that weird? Is it Mesa? Is that what's supposed to be?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always known it as Mesa Boogie, but Mesa is Arizona, right?
Yeah.
Like Mesa, Arizona.
I don't know that that's where they make the amp, but.
Hey, listeners, Shauna. I double checked. It is Mesa. But Mesa Boogie, or also known as Mesa Engineering, is an American company out of Petaluma, California. Now, am I saying Petaluma correctly? Probably not, but I am saying California correctly and Mesa. So there you go.
I've always called it Mesa, and you are the first person that's ever been like, is that how you say that? You
know, I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
If I were a man, I wouldn't, but we're on equal footing here. I'm not being a dick. But also I am a repair person. And so
there you go.
I work on Mesa Boogies. I've never worked on a Mesa Boogie.
It's so funny. I've been playing Mesa for, 10 years now. And I had an F50 before the dual rectifier, and no one's ever been like, it's called Mesa. No one's ever actually corrected me on it. So I guess maybe that's a Canadian thing. And you know what's funny about that is that in the US, everybody calls us the anti-queens, but up here we are the anti-queens. That's funny. Yes. Little thing I noticed.
Yes, that is a thing that makes total sense to me. Just like I say propagandy, and then up there it's propagandy. Mm-hmm. Right. But I'm like, yeah, propaganda. Totally. Like that's totally cool. I think it's like the reverse of feminism. Maybe everyone's like, no, don't correct her on saying Mesa versus Mesa, because then you're sexist. And so I can't be sexist.
It's so funny though, because it's like men have no problem talking at me on literally anything else.
Yeah. Maybe. Wait, am I discovering in real time that I'm wrong? No. It's everyone else.
No, you're the only person. You're actually the only person that talks to us about gear. So maybe we haven't been awarded enough opportunities to be corrected.
Nice. Well, so you're playing that Explorer like every show now. That's your go to.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's awesome. And it was worth the wait.
It was. And it's worth the chunk that comes off my paycheck for the next 2.5 years.
But you're familiar with that concept of financing.
Absolutely. The best.
Emily, what are you playing?
That's a good question, because I play like out of so many different amps. We're like kind of trying to find the right one for me right now. I've always loved Marshalls, but I have a Vox AC30 here at home. Sometimes I'll play out of Michael's. What does he play out of? The
Hot Rod.
Fender Hot Rod.
Deluxe.
Maybe let's talk about who's Michael. Tell everyone who Michael is.
Michael Cresty. He is now our bass player, actually. He was demoted from photographer, videographer to bass player.
Michael Cresty, for any fans of War Women, also helped us make the video for Aqua Tofana. He shot all that footage.
Oh my God, so I love that song.
Check that out. Oh, thank you.
That song is so much rage. It gets me pumped up.
Thank you. That's nice. Well, that's why I had you here and you went ahead and complimented me. So interview over. No, Emily, you're experimenting with new stuff. Is that what you did in the studio? Did you play a bunch of different amps and settle on a few? Or were you like, oh, this is my trusty rig, let's just do this? What was your approach, Emily?
Quite honestly, I didn't play a whole lot of guitar on this album.
Really?
Yeah, Valerie really took the reins on that. Nice. I did I have one solo that I play that I'm very proud of. And I did a couple just rhythm parts. But yeah, I honestly didn't play a whole lot of guitar because I'm living up in Muskoka, which is 2 hours from civilization. So it was hard for me to get down, you know, and do the guitar. So
That's real, though. That's real. There's I love when I hear little things like that, because it just proves there's a million ways to be in a band and none of them are right or wrong. And yeah, logistics are a thing.
I think the main goal, though, is we were just trying to get it done. Right. So,
OK, was there like a time constraint, you think, or self-imposed?
It's not that there was a time constraint. There was lockdowns, which held us back from being able to even go into the studio. So there were two lockdowns while we were recording this album. And from I think two, no, Omicron was the last one. I don't think we had a lockdown in 2022. Anyways, we had lockdowns. And then we also had, you know, if someone was sick, we couldn't go in or because it was really strict at the time. And we were all trying to be cautious as well. Mm. And I also live really close to where we were recorded. We were recorded in Toronto. I'm 40 minutes outside of the city, so it's a lot easier for me to get in on a day when we have time and can get in. So it just made sense. And no one, I don't think anyone had a problem with it. I'm the guitar guy in this band.
Right. Made my life a hell of a lot easier.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? I had so much fun too. I think the count was 13 or 14 different guitars that I think between the two of us, we played, not including our own. Yeah. We were really, really privileged in that sense. We had a lot of, a lot of access to great instruments, great gear. There's guitars at the studio. And then Dave Brownsound, who co-produced, he brought some of his in, which was such a treat. And one of the reasons why I got an Explorer, because he brought one of his in. Yes.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, yeah. He brought his, I think it's a 1970s E2 Explorer. So it was so comfortable. And I'd never really paid attention to the Explorer before. I'd played a 335 for 15 years. And that was my go-to, my guitar. But yeah, there's Les Paul Juniors on there. There's the Bob Marley Les Paul. There was a couple Telecasters. I think there's a Strat on there somewhere. And my 335's on there. Emily's Firebird is on there. lots of guitars. It was pretty heavenly, to be
honest.
That
seems like a big difference between 335 and Explorer. Like, have you not experienced any feedback using the Explorer?
That is the feedback queen.
It's true, because the 335 is hollow, right? So most of the feedback actually comes from that one. However, I've experimented with different noise gates, and when you're in the studio, it's way more easier to dial it in.
Yeah.
Half of the guitar was done DI, and then with plugins and Kemper style programmed sounds, and then some of it is live amps as well. So there's an Orange on there. I'm pretty sure there's a Black Star on there. My dual rectifier's on there. Lots of gear on this album. And that is a lot more gear than the last album, that's for sure.
That's so fun.
It was really cool.
I assume that would contribute to like a different overall sound for this album.
It's definitely meatier. And because we also had so much time in terms of guitar, I had a lot of time to experiment with like little extra bits, little sparkly parts. It was, it's a problem, because if you give me time, I will keep adding layers to a song and I'll be like, this sounds really good.
That sounds like a very guitar player thing. Like, there's always going to be something else to some other lick to add.
It's true.
There are so many that one of our producers had to like take them out too. Like, there's like little ending parts. Remember the one?
It's true. The doomed again. Yeah. He wouldn't let me keep that in, but I do it live every single time.
there's no fucking producer in your way there. That's your fucking show.
One of our producers, actually, Steve Risen, did sound for us at a show a couple months ago.
And he was like, mute, I know what's coming.
We did the song and we were ringing out, and I just looked right at him and I just did it. And I could see him. He did not look at me. He just had his head down and I could see him laughing. It was great.
He knew it was coming.
Revenge. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We're fucking brats. So in the studio, I don't want to say we waste a lot of time, but we have a lot of fun. And both of our producers, Dave and Steve, are really funny guys. So the studio time, definitely, we clocked in a lot of hours.
Where can people find y'all online?
All the places, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. We got a website. Bandcamp, that's where we're doing our pre-sales for the album, like the vinyls. We've got some pretty vinyl colors that are limited edition. Just type it in, the Anti-Queens. You will find it. Make sure to put the and the dash.
And for any of our European followers, you can pre-order our album off of Rough Trade.
Excellent. Thank you, Emily. Thank you, Valerie, so much for joining me and talking about your new shit.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us. This is so great.
After I stopped recording, Valerie showed me her Explorer, which is gorgeous. And we had, she showed it off like she was like a 5-year-old at show and tell. It was really cute. But we had this whole conversation about needing more women in the music industry and how there's no shame in being just the singer, quote unquote, as Emily starts to experiment with playing less guitar live. And of course, I told her how fucking great it is for me after playing guitar in 20 bands. 20 bands. After playing guitar in bands for 20 years, I'm having a good time being just a singer. But I'm sorry for not recording it. It was unexpected. But at least I got a bonus moment with them that I will put up on Patreon. So sign up for my Patreon and you'll get to hear this exclusive moment with them. Thanks again to Emily and Valerie for giving me some time. Keep listening to hear their song Crusade in full. You can support this podcast by liking my YouTube channel and sharing, subscribing, and reviewing But Her Lyrics. Wherever you get your podcasts, it's free and it helps. To find episode transcripts or to find out more about what I do, my book, my trainings, my Patreon, or to book me for trainings or whatever, head to shaunapotter.com. To learn about all things War on Women, you can head to our Linktree, linktr.ee/waronwomen. And you can also find me on Cameo. May is my birthday month, and I want to get weird with you, so book me on Cameo for fun, weird shit. And on the next episode of But Her Lyrics, I get to talk with my buddy Lynn from Bad Cop, Bad Cop. So stay tuned for that. Ceasefire now, and stop funding genocide.